I kind of want everybody to say the first line with me. The Patreons, you guys know it? And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table. Tis your boy, Man Weezy. I got my queen to the right, Angela Johnson.
Hello.
The homie B-Real to the left.
Hola.
This is our first live in San Diego. Let's go.
Yeah.
God, guys. First and foremost, I kind of want to give a shout out to the person that made this all happen.
Yes.
Jennifer Saint, stand up.
Give us a wave,
modest.
At least.
She's very modest, but she found the venue, which is kick-ass. Venue owner right over there in the back in the gray shirt. Yeah, woo! Thanks for letting us do it here.
Thank you for having us.
It's just all good times, guys. And I'm thankful for everybody that showed up that has no idea who we are. You could have said no.
Yeah.
You could have said no, but you said yes. And that's the first step to healing. Just kidding.
It's admitting.
It's just admitting you have a problem. And we're the answer. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Enneagram and how it can be that first step to healing. And for us, it's been absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
We all took it back when we were living in our little house. And we were like, let's take the Enneagram test. So we all got in our living room and we all just took the test right there.
Waving at you.
Oh, yeah. We all took the test right there. And it was like, man, it helped us truly understand the type of people that we were. Because we live such like in a close community. I was joking with people over there that we sometimes borderline approach a cult vibe. We're currently living with Brandon. Yeah. And also thinking about building a house so that they can live with us.
We're gonna, like, pretty soon it's gonna be matching outfit status.
Yeah.
Like, just showing out in public. Legit. Wearing all white.
Just robes.
Yeah. Having insider lingo.
Robes and sandals.
We're gonna have to go back and listen to our cold episode and be like, oh, wait, that's us.
We just crossed the line.
Avoid all the red flags and just pretend. But we are matching.
Uh-oh.
If you're watching on YouTube.
That was planned. It only becomes cult status when it's not planned.
Yeah.
Like, you just start thinking the same. Yeah,
catch up, there. Alyssa. Catch up. So, we're going to run down. B's going to read to you, just in case if you didn't take the test. B's going to run down the numbers and give a brief description. And if you didn't take the test, just keep your ear and open so you can see which one you are. Preface. You are who you are, not who you think you are or who you want to be. That is the problem where some people go astray. If you think you are generous and all of your friends disagree, you're probably not generous. So you just got to answer accurately or just hear yourself accurately. Is that cool? So we're going to run this down and then we're going to jump into it, how the Enneagram has helped us become better people and friends.
Yeah. So the Enneagram, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it is a personality identifier. And so the thing that I love about this kind of personality identifier is that it doesn't matter what your background is, your orientation is, religion, however you identify, it puts all of that to a side and puts it back to, this is your personality. These are some of your strengths. This is your basic desire. And this is what it looks like in your life when you're unhealthy, emotionally and mentally, spiritually. And it's funny because the thing with the Enneagram, it's like this mystery. Like, no one actually knows the origins of this, right? There's all these stories. And like, when you do research on the history of the Enneagram, no one can give you a clear date of where this comes from. So it's kind of this mixture of all these ancient traditions mixed with some modern psychology, which kind of takes us to the modern Enneagram that we have today. And so quickly, I want to go through the 9 types. And so here, type 1 is the reformer. This is your principled, idealistic type. Ones are ethical and conscientious with a strong sense of right and wrong. They are the perfectionists. Any ones in the room? No ones in the room. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Type 2 is the helper. It is the caring, interpersonal type. 2s are empathetic, sincere, and warm-hearted. The basic desire of a 2 is to feel loved. Type three, the achiever.
Wait, any twos? Any twos here?
Any twos?
Hey,
yeah,
Barbara, we got Brown some twos.
We all just
hey,
want
twos.
Some love.
Aww.
That's so many twos.
Everybody who raised their hand, give them a hug afterwards.
Yeah. Type three is the achiever, which I'm a type three, and I met some threes earlier. This is the adaptable, success-oriented type. Threes are self-assured, attractive, and charming. Yes, they are. The basic desire is to feel worthwhile, accepted, and desirable. Type
where the,
four.
Where are the threes at?
Yeah. Here we
okay,
go.
Yes. We got some.
Yes.
Yeah. Type four is the individualist. It is the romantic, introspective type. Fours are self-aware, sensitive, reserved, and quiet, and their basic desire is to find themselves and their significance, to create an identity out of their inner experience. Any fours in the room?
Got one. A quiet four. Okay.
Nice. Five, type five is the individualist, the intense cerebral type. Fives are alert, insightful, and curious. Their basic desire is to be capable and competent. Type five, here we go. We got one.
All right, Carlos.
We got another one right here. Nice.
Boricua.
Type six is the loyalist. It's the committed, security-oriented type. Sixes are reliable, hardworking, and responsible. Their basic desire is to find security and support. I know Jennifer's is type six. There you go. The loyalist, and we got a mob up here. I love it. Type seven is the enthusiast, the busy, productive type. Sevens are versatile, optimistic, and spontaneous. Their basic desire is to be happy, satisfied, and find fulfillment.
Where do sevens at?
Sevens? Any sevens in the room?
Okay.
Yeah,
and just
okay.
just also another preface too, like all of these types exist in all of us to an extent, but you're going sure. to have a main one that is your, like, this is your type. So for some of you that are thinking, yeah, I want to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, you do. That's like built inside of you. So yes, there's a part of that inside of you. So you're not left out. All right. Type eight is the challenger. Here we go. The powerful, dominating type. Eights are self-confident, strong, and assertive. Their basic desire is to protect themselves and to determine their own course in life. Any challengers in the room? Hey,
hey,
we got some eights. Let's
go. They'll be debating in the corner after this.
You say debating. We're having a spirited conversation. That's what we're doing.
I'm just trying to assert myself.
Iron sharpens iron.
And type nine is the peacemaker. It is the easygoing, self-effacing type. Nines are accepting, trusting, and stable. Their basic desire is to maintain their inner stability and peace of mind.
Also known as the darling of the Enneagram.
That's you, right, babe?
Type
yeah.
nine.
Any nines?
In a row. There we
Woo-hoo!
Go. We got some.
Yes.
And so, go ahead. I was going to say, one of the things that when I think about the Enneagram, like when I think about things that we talk about, my mind first goes to why is it important? And to me, the Enneagram is important because, and I wrote this down, that we are all driven by this deep inner restlessness. And we may feel this restlessness as a sense that something is missing in us. And although it's usually hard to define what that is, so some of us will feel it thinking the next job, the next partner, the next car, the next opportunity is going to fulfill that restlessness deep inside of me. And what I would argue is that what we're really looking for and the thing that our heart is really yearning for is to truly know who we are and why we're here. And the Enneagram to me is a powerful tool that covers who you are, right? It's not going to find the why in your life, but it's going to cover to know who you are. And there's very little things in our culture today that exist that actually encourage us to answer that question, who we are. Most of culture tries to actually give you an answer to who you already are, right? This is who you should be. And the Enneagram is just this honest tool. Yeah. And again, it's only as powerful as honest as you will be,
yeah.
right? Like you just can't read it and be like, okay, cool. I've arrived, I've evolved, you know, all these sorts of things. And so there's a quote by this person named Alan Bass, and I'll pass it over. It says, there's a part of every living thing that wants to become itself. The tadpole into the frog, the chrysalis into the butterfly, a damaged human being into a whole one. This is spirituality.
Hey.
Like this is the core cry of spirituality. It is for us damaged people to become whole people. And this is why we're talking about the Enneagram tonight.
Yeah.
Hey.
And the important thing to understand is that when we took it, look, I didn't understand anything about it. I was like, numbers, really? Like what? And then I read it and I was like, oh, that's kind of me. And everybody had a
for sure you.
Everybody was like, you're for sure an eight, like very accused. Everybody became an eight telling me I'm an eight is what happened, okay? When I was driving here, I was, before the day before I got here, I was driving and I was listening to Richard Rohr. You probably hear us talk about Richard Rohr a lot because we quote him. I wish he was my dad. And I was listening to the eight and then I was listening to the nine because the queen over here is a nine.
Yeah.
And so I jotted some stuff down about myself that may not paint a nice picture, but my eights will understand. This is what stuck out to me about me being an eight. Strong. I don't like to show weakness. Cannot stand deceit or hypocrisy. Leader will take the side of the weak. We don't even notice our behavior may frighten others. We enjoy conflict and struggle and don't notice that this affects other people. We enjoy attacking as a form of connecting and breaking down the facade that other people may have. We're not aware that this scares people or makes them defensive. We need to know who we need to fight and who we are safe with. We are good with disarming false behavior, which makes us really great therapists. Basically, that means is we smell bullshit real good. Eights have a tendency to get out of the system and then destroy it. What you hear, when you hear an eight speak, it may come off as anger, but it is actually passion.
I'm always like, bring it down.
No, wait, the sentence gets better.
Your nostrils are flaring.
It gets better. That's the flare of passion. I'm Latin, hello. It may come off as anger, but it's actually passion and a total commitment to truth, life, and justice for the cause they believe in or to protect those who need it. That is a mover and a shaker. Eights need a lot of time to themselves. We also enjoy conflict, hard things, and suffering. We kind of enjoy that stuff. Careful. This is what I learned about you nines. Nines tend to suffer from a lack of drive. They are everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah.
They do everything good, but nothing specifically well. Mm-hmm. Nines have to find out who they are and what they want. They master something of everything, but nothing totally. Yeah. Sometimes nines lack courage or don't consider themselves important enough to display their talents. Many nines report that in their childhood, they were overlooked or somehow lost. Nines, at least initially, are easy to care for. You just have to like them. But at times, they're hard to put your finger on because they seem blurry as persons. Most of them will not change the world because they will choose the path of least resistance.
Rude.
They like to put off.
Hey, you're talking about our wives like that. Yeah. My wife is a nine.
This is now, there's a light and shadow to everything. So if you're a nine, do not run outside in front of a car. They like to put off anything that's important and avoid anything that's too hard or take too much energy.
Yes.
Nines walk into a room and they don't want the attention. They walk in and out unnoticed. Yep. Nines take stimulants from outside.
Yes.
Because they have a hard time stimulating themselves. The root sin in nine is laziness. Immature nines are uncomfortable and have weak instinctual drives. They have problems taking the initiative, developing projects, tackling jobs, and seeing them through. Yeah. Look, guys.
You read the entire list of the dark.
This is all that resonated with him about me.
And here's why. Here's why. Because prior to this conversation, prior to me listening, right, me and my queen had a conversation. And as eights do, we like to freaking pry, right? So I'm here having a passionate discussion.
He likes to say he's asking questions to like be inquisitive. But to me, it feels more like I am on the stand and he is questioning me to break me down.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's not actually
objection.
What's
badgering the witness.
Overruled. Yeah. So we were talking and I was, you know, I do have the tendency to be aggressive. And especially if I believe in you, I'm the worst person for you to tell your dream to. If you come and tell me, I really want to be this, I'm going to look you in your face and I'm going to say, I give you 6 months to become whatever it is you want. Whether it's you telling me, I want to move to LA to be an actress. Cool. 6 months. Start saving money. You're going to need about minimum 10 grand. I'll see you in LA. If in 6 months you don't show up, I will not pay attention to any of your dreams because I think you're just bullshitting yourself and you're bullshitting me. because once I believe in you, I will bend over backwards to help you accomplish whatever dream it is. If it means losing sleep, if it means take my camera, take my car, take my whatever, I will help you however I can. So that passion is what I offer to my queen.
Well.
It doesn't come off as such. So the night before, we were having the conversation and I was thinking of all the things that she can do to be great. And I felt like I should communicate it to her. So when I was listening to Roar say all these things, I was agreeing with him, but not in the way that you think, to where I was like, oh, my wife sucks, she's all these things. When I understand that we each have a dark and a light side, and what we mean by that is sometimes we can operate not healthy. So an unhealthy eight, I can be badgering, I can be attacking. It doesn't come off as love. It comes off, like she said, I'm more accusatory. And so when I read all these, I don't want to say negative, but just like
shadow
parts of us, it made me really understand that I need to have empathy for her in all this, because there's a litany of stuff that I do horribly that she's empathetic with me about. So what I've learned about this test is that it's enabled me to truly grow my space of grace for people.
Yeah.
How many of y'all get triggered really quick by what you see on Facebook? Be honest.
Yeah.
Yes.
You see something on Facebook and you're immediate. Don't let Trump's face show up because you're like ready to fight somebody, right? Or anything political, anything, whatever that you don't agree with, you immediately get triggered, right? There's no space for people that are on the opposite side of your opinions or your thoughts or what you think. Zero space, zero empathy, zero gray, zero anything. I'm the worst. So it became now a part of me that I have to understand, or I have to attempt and try really hard, that when I have an opposing viewpoint, or when somebody that I love is not following my, what I think is stellar advice, there needs to be a grace to let them be who they are and become whatever it is that they feel they should become.
And for the nine, so to give you a little backstory on the conversation that we were having and where I'm at, I can be all of those things. And when I get into a season of being very uninspired, unmotivated, then I'll wait for the feeling to come. I don't feel like it. I got three auditions that came in. I don't feel like doing them. I don't feel like it. Whatever it is, like the whole thing about being good at all the things but not great at one thing, that is me to the T. I can dance, I can sing a little bit, I'll beatbox a little bit, like all the things. I will fake it to get in the door and be like, oh, she's good at this. I'm like, oh, actually, no, I'm not. I pretend. My whole life is I pretend, which is why I decided to be an actress, because I'm good at pretending. But so I've been in this season myself of just feeling uninspired, unmotivated. I don't want to write any new jokes. Do I even want to be an actress anymore? I don't know what I want to do, all of those things. And the Enneagram is really helpful in identifying that, to where I could beat myself up for not doing these things and be so hard on myself for where I'm at, if I'm not aware that this is a part of my personality type, that I'm operating in my shadow side, so that I can course correct and be like, oh, okay. So I radically accept you, Angela, that you're feeling uninspired right now, that you don't want to write anything, that you don't feel like doing anything but being a dog mom and a housewife at somebody else's house. That's fine. Like, that's all you want to do right now.
Babe, like, did you say housewife? Yeah,
like, I just,
I'm the housewife.
I radically.
Don't radically accept my position.
I radically accept where I'm at, and then I can, in love, course correct myself. And I am grateful that I have a husband who does not let me bullshit myself. Like, as much as it comes with aggression, and when I really want him to stop, he just will not stop and he will keep going. Like, as annoying as that is, I am so grateful, because how I would still grow, but a lot slower for sure, if I didn't have him like pushing me along. So I'm grateful for those conversations, not in the moment, afterwards when I think about it. I am grateful for
when the Lord tells you how divine it was,
reminding me of my nineness.
It's like, that's the thing too, that I mean, William Matthews, one of my best friends, and actually the friend that introduced me to Mannion Inge. Like, when I shared the story earlier with somebody, but when my wife and I first moved to LA in 2017, William was like, hey, there's some people you should meet. I think you guys will really connect. And he didn't tell me who. And so we show up to their house and we just start talking and stuff, and we connected. And little shortly after that, William was like, you know what? He always has these like really deep, profound thoughts. And he's like, you know what? You need to take the Enneagram. I think you're a three. And when I read it, it felt like my whole life was just being read for me. And I have a list of some of the fun things that I wanted to read. Not really fun things, actually. I take that back. Not fun at all. Might be triggering for some of you. The mic is going to be open pretty soon. But each of us, like, there's things that happen in our childhood that really shape that personality, right? And so for each of the types, there is an unconscious childhood message, is something that you should have. There's something that you should have heard and something that you maybe didn't hear. And so see, these are some for the type. So like for me as a three, the unconscious childhood message I had was, it's not okay to have your own feelings and identity, right? As a three, my big thing is to always present this image like I have all of it figured out and I have this all together. Like, threes are the go-getters, the driven people. And so you do everything you can to really avoid vulnerability and looking like, I'm a mess right now and things are really shitty right now, you know? And so the message for a one was, it's not okay to make mistakes, right? For the ones, you're the perfectionist. Everything has to be like, you know, to a T. For twos, it's not okay to have your own needs.
For fours, always tending to others.
Yeah.
A lot of twos can be like assistance in service. It's, you're always taking care of others. So having your own needs is like, you may feel selfish or something just for taking care of your own needs.
Right. It's like this thing of like, you're only good or okay if the people around you are good or okay. That's the two, the helper. For type five, type four, it's not okay to be too functional or too happy. For five, it's not okay to be comfortable in the world. For six, it's not okay to trust yourself. Seven, someone said, that's true. Seven, it's not okay to depend on anyone for anything. Yeah. and type eight, which I'm super proud. When I read some of the shadow stuff, I'm so proud of just the people around me in my life, because I'm like, this isn't entirely you. Like, I've seen growth, but this is you. This is Manny, but he's done a lot better at this. For the eight, it's not okay to be vulnerable or to trust anyone. And if you guys have listened to the podcast at all, you know how vulnerable Manny is. And for nines, the message is, it's not okay to assert yourself, right? The peacemaker, as that person, right? It's like, you do everything to maintain just the semblance of peace, not necessarily real peace, but you do everything you can to keep the, and so that means a lot of times avoiding even
sweep
your
it
own.
Under the rug.
Yep.
I'm real good at sweeping.
That's the housewife part.
Yeah. Yeah.
We call that a callback in the biz. You gonna keep going?
Oh yeah, no, I can keep going. I mean, there's a ton. So these are also, I love hearing these things, these little tidbits. So for those of you guys, you're with it. The basic fears of each of the types. For one, it is the fear of being bad, corrupt, evil, or defective, right? If you look at the Bible or if you read the Bible at all, Apostle Paul was for sure a one. He wanted to be a good boy so bad. Basic fear of type two, it is the fear of being unworthy of being loved. For threes, it is the fear of being worthless or without inherent value. That is me. That is like me to a T, because I've done so much in my life to be successful, playing professional basketball and, you know, all these sorts of things and achieving these things. It was like, for so long, I felt so much love from people because of what I was accomplishing. And so I remember once those things got taken away, it's kind of like, man, I don't have any value.
Oh my God, that was me when I stopped touring.
Oh my God, who am I? And it's funny because like I even had an experience on New Year's Eve. I was crossfaded.
And explain that to people. Some people don't know what that means.
So I had been drinking kind of most of the day. I was drinking rosé at like 2 p.m. playing Yahtzee. I don't know, man. What's wrong with me? And later that night, my friend was like, "Yo, I brought some edibles. Let's take it." And I was like, "Cool, you know, like whatever. I've never really taken an edible." And make a long story short, it put me on a bad trip. And let's just say I was like shaking, cold, and all of my walls came completely down. So it culminates, I'm in bed, shaking with the chills in my underwear, and our friends are in our living room, and everyone's like, "We should go check on B." So my room's dirty, I'm sitting on top of my bed in my underwear, surrounded with people who came for our New Year's Eve party.
As everyone should be.
And I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is the most humiliating moment I've ever had in my life. And especially coming from a 3, right? My whole thing is I want to present this image to you like I'm perfect. So being in this moment and I'm the only one faded like this and everyone else is like in a really good place. And I remember in that moment, it was like when all my walls came down, I admitted to everyone in the room, if I'm being really honest with all you guys, I feel like such a failure. And I feel like such a hypocrite. And I feel like all the things that I've really tried to put my hand to, I actually haven't experienced success in the way that I want to. Mm. And what I was really saying was like, I feel like I don't have value because I feel like I'm a failure. And it was like one of the most life-changing moments for me. It was painful in that moment to have that sort of vulnerability, especially in front of people who I still like trying to impress as my friends, you know? And man, that moment just like, I'm still unpacking that anyways. A basic fear of type 4 is the fear of being without identity or personal significance. 5 is the fear of being useless, incapable, or incompetent. 6 is the fear of being without support or guidance. 7, the fear of being deprived or trapped in pain. 8 is the fear of being harmed or controlled by others. And the basic fear of type 9 is the fear of loss of connection, which
is interesting because she's afraid of dying and me dying.
Afraid of death, like a fear of death. And always, as soon as anybody that I love drives away, I'm like, well, we'll see. You know, like just, it's real dumb. But I think about death far too often. I check losing to make connection. Sure my dog is breathing at like every 10 minutes. And just, yeah, it's that loss of connection. And there was another way that they phrased it too. I forget what it was, but it triggered me to be like, oh yeah, that is my fear of death for sure. Like just losing the people that I love and not wanting to feel that pain.
Yeah. And for me, I have this, I don't get angry quick. I don't. If you would let me finish.
She hits you with the oop.
I don't get angry quick unless I feel manipulated.
Oh.
Hey,
or somebody cuts you off.
He's just trying to protect himself.
Who doesn't get mad when somebody almost kills you? I don't understand. I get angry on the road. Yes, I confess. I confess to my priest. I get angry because I almost die for Mr. Honda Civic over there. Like. No. That
but
bothers
even
me.
Like if they don't let you in the lane, like you just put your blinker on a point
once
of a
again.
Second ago, and then you're like, "Really, guy? You don't want to let me in? Really, guy? Really, guy? You just put your blinker on. Okay, thank you. Have a good day. You too, sir. You too, sir."
Sometimes I'll clap. Yeah. I'll be like, "Look, you didn't even get ahead. Good job. Good job, bro." All of that is done in love. I am triggered by manipulation. I don't like it when I feel people are trying to manipulate me. And look, all these things sound, some of you may not, like you'll hear these things and you're like, that's not me. I know Daryl was telling me that a lot of the shadow side aids, you're probably surprised that I remember your name, didn't you? So am I, bro. I'm just kidding. Some of these things may not be you. You may not even feel you. You know, it may not be anything close to you when it comes to the shadow side, because that just means that some of you guys are actually like operating in a healthy space. The important thing to remember is none of this has to be you. Like if you hear the negative side of the things, I think it all exists within us, right? We all find ourselves at times acting out not in our better selves, especially when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because you have a history of scars with this person, right? You see this person through a filter. As much as you would like to pretend within your arguments that you're objective, it's just not. A lot of us are carrying around pain. We're carrying around that argument that happened 5 years ago that never got resolved. We're carrying around last week, you know, you scratched my car and you know, like, I love cars. You know, we're carrying around all this stuff that we never really move through or heal from. And we end up most of the time being subjective to our partner. So we just don't see, we only see the shadow side. We don't see the positive. And here's how, if you can humble yourself enough, and I don't mean that in a freaking super Christianese way, if you humble yourself and pray.
Humble yourself under the mighty hand
yes,
of God.
Yes, Morgan Freeman. if you can humble yourself to, and get this, if you're okay with accepting this, that you could possibly be wrong, then you can find so much right about yourself on the other side of that. And it happened today. And I'll call myself out because I love doing it before anyone else does. So I have a 2-hour conversation with my wife, like I said, passionate or judgy, whatever. And I'm saying all the things my wife can do to be better and succeed. Mind you, she's about 300,000% more successful than I am. So I don't know why I open my mouth. Nevertheless, I tell her all these ways for her to succeed. Then we're driving here yesterday. She gets a call from her agent, tells her really good news. I'm not going to talk about the news because she doesn't like being open. She'll probably talk about whatever. But anyways, really great opportunity with a really great person on a really great show. And she didn't even have to do anything for it. And the first thing that came to my mind was that conversation I had with her, which was like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the guy in me, the aide in me, the guy who thinks that I'm always right, it's not right when it comes to her. Maybe her gut or the way she handles things is not being lazy. It's not being unmotivated. What if it's just she has like discernment on when to go and when to not go? Because I find her stumbling into things and I find that her career trajectory is so effortlessly awesome while I'm over here busting my ass. And I don't even feel like angry. It just really helps me to understand that, Manny, sometimes effort and the push and the go and the whatever isn't what's needed. Sometimes it's just let it come. Mm. And for an 8, for us, we don't know what that even looks like. All we know is go, go, go. Yeah. All we know is keep people to the fire, keep people to their word, keep... be intense. I even apologized to her. I was like, babe, I am so sorry. It must be hard to be married to me because I don't take a break. I'm always on. And that's exhausting for people to be around because nobody wants to be reminded all the time what they're not doing. And so I love it when God does that because I am so okay with being wrong now. If you listen to the podcast, you'll always hear me say it. When we talk, this conversation is not about being right or telling you answers. This is only about starting a conversation that we hope you go home with your significant others and talk about, and y'all find the answers to your life. We don't have all the answers. We just like asking the questions because we believe we need to have safe spaces for us to converse about these things without someone being afraid that they're gonna get shouted down or judged or mentally abused or emotionally abused. Like none of that has place at the table. I want to be okay to be wrong and not feel like somebody's gonna hold it over my head. One way I do it is just by calling myself out. I didn't talk to her about this. I'm literally saying it right now. I was like, damn, I'm wrong. And we don't know if the opportunity will, you know, it's Hollywood, so that crap's always like, until you're on set, it's like, it doesn't matter. But I'd like those small reminders of God letting me know, hey, man, you don't always know. It's not how you say it's going to be. It'll just be how it is. And most of the times, it'll be how you didn't plan it. Just be ready to say thank you. And that's kind of where I, like, I'm at in my life. You know what I'm saying? You can clap.
Yeah.
You can clap.
I mean, it's definitely a, oh my God.
Hey,
it's definitely
camera.
A happy medium of that, because, like, for instance, the reason why I got that call out of nowhere that I didn't have to do anything for is because the work was already done. Like, there was already, oh, check her out in this, check her out in this, check it. So if I didn't show up for myself that day, if I would have picked emotional, I don't feel like it on that day, then they wouldn't have had anything to show these producers.
Which is something that I praise you about all the time. Like, the amount of times that my wife shows up,
yeah,
bruh, I tried acting and modeling. Tried is the accurate term. I got signed to a modeling agency, and the first day I walked in, it was in New York, I walked into all the cubicles, and the first thing the agent says, take off your shirt. And I was like, here? Like, in front of everyone? Take off your shirt. I had to take off my shirt, and she goes, you need to lose about 5 pounds, and you need to fix your skin. And I was like, oh my God. I walked out of there, and I was just like, hurt, because I've been told all my life, you look all right. And this person just picked me apart in like 5 minutes. Then I attempted to act, and I went to a Hyundai commercial audition once. And literally I walk in and this is what they say, slate your name. And I don't know what that means. So I was like, what does that mean? Say your name and your agency. Oh, okay, cool. Boom. And then they go, all right, you got a new car. You see it. There's people on the other side of the car. You acknowledge them. Let them know that you're happy about the car. Then you notice a beautiful woman. You see her. You invite her for a ride. You can't use words. Go. I thought they were joking. This is literally what I did. Wait, are you serious? And they're like, go. And I was like, in my mind, fully failed. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get this right. So at least let me have a good story to tell. So I was like, I'm out. And I left. I didn't wait to hear any response. I left. I called my agent. I was like, I can't do this. I don't like hearing no. And I never went back. So the fact that this person next to me, like, I've been with her for 10 years now, and she always shows up. And so many times we get so close, and when I say we, it's because I'm more emotionally invested than she is. We get so close, and then hear no, and she still auditions, and we still do things, and I'm like, I just don't know how you do it. So I.
Well, thanks, lover.
You're so courageous. I really do appreciate
thanks,
that.
Thanks, lover.
All that from just being wrong, guys. So don't be afraid to be wrong. B, you have any more?
Yeah. No, I was going to kind of go back to what you were talking about of how this is kind of a random thought and this might be a little bunny trail. But as a three, right, my thing is, hey, I can achieve whatever I set my mind to, right? Whatever it is, give me a goal. I will knock that shit out of the park, you know? But sometimes in my hustle mentality, it's like I feel like I could get everything done in my own way. That this year, like, so many things have happened in my life that have kind of put me on my back and have humbled me. And it's been now in this place of, like, do I actually trust God, right? Like, I don't know how many people would subscribe to the belief of God that are in the room. I do in my life personally. And it's been one of those things where whether you want to label it God as a he or she, I think he and she is both in God. And whether you want to label it the universe, I think so much of our responsibility is just doing our best to be a whole person and being ready to receive whatever the universe, whatever God may give us. And because I was even looking at my life like the last couple of years since we've been in LA, like, we're super fortunate. We have, like, everything that we need. Doors have continually been open for us. But I realized most of that's come from just stumbling into it. Mm-hmm. Like, and my thing right now, like the focus that I'm having to like shift in me, the mindset shift in me has been commit yourself to growth, commit yourself to being honest and authentic to who you are, and commit to growth, and the rest will happen what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And so for me, especially like as a three, right, the biggest problem is us being vulnerable. And that's now like the biggest thing I hang my hat on is like, how honest can I be?
Right.
And I will never forget the feeling, because like actually living in your truth and living with honesty is like the most freeing thing that you can do.
Oh my God. Yes.
And like, I remember the feeling, like going back to the bad trip I had on New Year's Eve. Like I was fully aware of everything that I was saying. Like there wasn't any secrets coming out of me that was like, am I going to regret that I said this tomorrow morning? I was fully aware of everything that I was saying. And it was such a surreal feeling, because I remember as these like deep secrets that I've never told anybody were coming out of me, I realized how light I felt because I was telling the truth. And after that moment, it was like something cemented in my head and my soul that I was like, I refuse to not ever be what I used to be. Like, I don't care like now about my reputation or whatever. I'm like, dude, I got to be as honest as I can, because that's where the freedom is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where the growth is. And that's like, that's where life gets really good. Because I don't have to live with this sort of like pretend or pretentiousness that so many of us, like not here in the room, maybe some of us, but live with, is like we put forward of like all this great strength, strong stuff in us. And in reality, it's like, dude, you got to embrace all of it. The shadow side. Like in order for you to become whole, you have to embrace what you don't like about yourself.
How many of you guys came here? Some of you guys are coupled up. How many couples we got up in this piece? We got a good amount. I'm going to speak to you just for a second. How many of you guys are deathly afraid of your other person finding out like your shit? Like for real, think about it. Things that you don't tell nobody, you for damn sure don't tell them. If you could be honest, do you have those sides of yourself where you're like, if this person knew this, whatever it is, they'd leave, they'd bounce, they whatever, okay? If you can be honest with yourself, cool. If you're one of those people who are brutally honest, I praise you, because that's how we are. And it's, the intimacy has grown so much. There's like not one dark thought that my wife doesn't know. Because when we took them vows, it was supposed to be better or worse, right? So it's like, if I'm just giving my worst, I don't know about y'all, but we were raised, like I was in the church for a good amount of time, and we were always told, men get men accountability, women accountability, men don't tell your women certain things that only we men understand. They're not gonna understand masturbation. Talk to your guys about masturbation. That's what we would get all the time. Keep secrets. And it never meant sense to me, because I'm like, damn. So I'm supposed to commit my life to this person, but I can't tell her like a third of my life for fear that she may not get it because she's a girl. But like, I'm supposed to tell this friend who didn't commit herself to me? Like, I don't understand how this is supposed to, like, he could bounce at any time. Like, we're not even tax buddies. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I just thought one day, I was like, screw that. I'm going to be so brutally honest. And she in turn was brutally honest. And nobody ran. We just dove in deeper. And I say that because there's something freeing, like what B was saying, when it comes to understanding these light and dark sides of us, that we all have them. That we create a space, whether it's your freaking Uncle Bob who repost every conservative damn Facebook post that he sees, and you're like, this guy doesn't even read these things. Or if it's the other side, if it's the person that you can't stand and you don't want to look at, or if it is your significant other, whatever. There's something beautiful about creating this space for them, that you're saying you are safe to be the ugliest version of who you are. This right here, this is the space I'm creating for you. And in turn, give me space to be the ugliest person that I am. Because once you can break free from this pretentiousness, from this fear of being wrong because you don't want the other person to hold it over you or be brought up in an argument, if you two can get to the point where you can be honest with one another and unveil all the stuff, there's an insane amount of freedom that comes with that, and peace and real intimacy. Like real intimacy. I don't know if you guys know this, and maybe you guys are this way. Maybe you're super honest and this is just going to the cars.
There are some nice ones.
Yeah, because they've been eyeing each other and they're waiting to trade oil.
Manny.
I know. I'm sorry. Sorry. Those Porsches are getting me. Maybe you are super honest, guys, and maybe I commend you for that. But I remember the day after us committing to brutal honesty that I walked around just super light, like in my soul. I was like, oh, she knows it all. She's still here. That's freaking awesome. To be known, right? It's the only reason why we connect, to be known. Eights, we have a bravado about us. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be vulnerable, but we want to be known. We want to be understood.
Yeah.
We want you to hear our aggression as passion. We want you to hear this. We want you to feel us. We just want to connect. And I do believe that that's everybody in this room. And I encourage you, try that out. It'll be baby steps. Maybe not start with... You know, I have another family. That's a joke. I'm sorry.
Wow, he went there.
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Maybe don't start with that.
Oh man.
Trigger. Yeah. Maybe start with like, you know, I ate a ho-ho last night and I told you that I threw them away.
And by ho-ho, her name is Tracy.
She also goes by Cinnamon. She had the late dance on Saturday night.
Maybe start with something small, but start. I'm so sorry if there's anybody.
We've digressed.
Too religious for this. I'm so sorry.
There's not.
I really want you guys to at least take one step towards that direction, and we'd love to hear from you if you do take that step, because we'll be there to support you, and we always do. I don't know if you notice, if anybody does write to us on Instagram, I will always answer. We are fully there for you. Some of you guys aren't Patreon members. Patreon is just something that we do, a monthly giving thing to keep this thing going. And we always encourage people, if you like any of this, to support. And that would be amazing. But you also get extra tidbits from us in that.
Yeah, we'll tell them.
Okay. But at this moment, we're at like 47 minutes and... You want to do one more thing?
Yep. I want to add one more thing. To me, this is what love is, and this is why love is powerful. And this is why, to me, I am so fascinated, and I think I'll forever be fascinated by the person of Jesus, is on the cross, Jesus becomes what we all fear the most. He's naked, he's vulnerable, and literally has taken on the darkest of dark in all of us, right? As Christians, we subscribe to the belief that he embodied the sins of us all. So Jesus literally dies as the thing we all fear to be, completely naked, vulnerable, and at our lowest. And in the midst of that creates one of those beautiful moments in history, is that there is something more powerful than the thing that you fear the most of becoming, and that's love. And to me, the message of the cross is not just like, hey, so you get a ticket to go to heaven and you don't get to go to hell. Like, to me, the message of the cross is that he has become that thing that I fear the most. So it now gives me freedom that I can be that. That I don't have to pretend that that's not me. That even when I am that thing, love is still more powerful than that. And I want to leave you guys with something that for each of the types, that this was possibly a lost childhood message that you never received. For the ones, I want to remind you tonight that you are good. For the twos, that you are wanted. For the threes, that you are loved for yourself and not for what you do. For the fours, you are seen for who you are tonight. Fives, your needs are not a problem. Sixes, you are safe. Sevens, you will be taken care of. 8s, you will not be betrayed, that you can trust. And 9, that your presence tonight, it matters in this room.
With that said, it's a perfect intro to if anybody has any thoughts, questions, anything at all, that microphone is open. If it's not, there's no problem. We can end it and let y'all mingle with each other and hopefully create friendships. But if you have anything you'd like to say, any questions you have, anything, we'd love to hear from you. Just going to leave. Go ahead, Alyssa. Yeah.
I got a bunch of notes here on some of the types too. So even if you have a question on your type of like, hey, my partner is a 3. How do they manipulate each other in relationships? I can point you in the right direction because I knew.
I swear I wasn't going to get on this microphone. Do you or have you had experience in major life decisions or changes? Moving out of your own suppression where it changes your Enneagram.
Can the Enneagram number change for you? There's sort of a thought, again, your basic type is going to be your type, but the way that it's set up, Ennea is short for 9. So there's 9 points in the Enneagram. So when you look at it, so all of them are connected to 2 other numbers. So for example, for 3 and me, the way that the Enneagram is set up, when I am unhealthy, I go to a 9. I become the apathetic, slothful 9. When I'm healthy, there's aspects of the 6 that come out in me. So for you, in a sense of like, depending on the season of life that you're in and depending on all these things that are happening, you can either digress to another number or you can almost evolve to the number that's kind of corresponding with you. So for you, what number are you again? You're 5. 5 wing 4. So that's perfect. So a lot of those things, sometimes that 4 can come out, but then also corresponding, I can't see the chart right now, but the 5 can evolve into, do you have it?
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Okay, yeah. So depending on where it's at in the Enneagram is where you'll kind of go. So you might feel like, I'm not really a 5. I think I'm a 7. Well, yeah, that's partly true because you've evolved into that. Now, again, you're always going to kind of come back, like whatever that personality type is for you, that's going to kind of always be your home base. But there's going to be times where you're a first base on another number. So I don't know if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You guys got anything to add?
No, I'm pretty much an 8 through and through. I don't really venture, like, which I guess is good because I'm predictable. Predictably hardcore. Anyone else? Oh my God, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Jennifer. And Patreon guys, VIP, you can talk too.
So for the people that are here that are new, that don't understand all this, or this is like the first time hearing about this, what would be the next step for husband, wife, partners, whatever, to keep exploring this beyond tonight?
Good question.
Okay, so there's if you come up to us later, there's a
book you can get. Great test called the Enneagram Institute. So if you Google that, that's by far, I think it costs like $8, but it's really comprehensive. So after you take this test, it'll take you probably like 15-20 minutes, which I kind of actually appreciate some of those long tests because I feel like you could actually get a better sense, you know, and they end up asking you the same questions and you try and change your answer. You know what it is. But that thing gives you almost this whole like 15-page printout by the end of it. So it's listing like all your strengths, your weaknesses, the things to look out for, some of the main messages that your ego is telling you through that personality type. And so that's one thing my wife and I took. And then there's also another book that I have. Can you grab that for me, Britt? Thank you. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. I love you. It's this book called The Wisdom of the Enneagram. This is about $17 on Amazon. This is my favorite book on the Enneagram. And so you open this thing up, and I mean, it like each chapter is telling all these things. So it's important to know, like, I wish this is something my wife and I had when we first got married. Like, if we had this in premarital, it would have gotten us a lot closer, a lot quicker, and I would have understood her to a much deeper level that took me just like life experience to catch up. So I think understanding what Manny and was talking about earlier is understanding those weaknesses. I think starting with a test, knowing what you are, and then going over the strengths, going over the weaknesses, and seeing how those weaknesses manifest themselves in the dynamic of the relationship, right? So each of those personality types, depending on how evolved they are, it's going to manifest itself in a way to try and manipulate others, right? And so for the nines, let me see, where is it? How the type manipulate each other. So for a nine, they do this by checking out and by passively aggressively resisting others. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes when my wife and I would have these tough conversations, it was like she was just checking out. Like, and I'm mad because I'm like, I'm engaged. I'm doing my best to be vulnerable. I'm sharing all these feelings. And the answer I get from you is, I don't know. Like, so how are you feeling about this? I don't really know. So at first that used to frustrate me because I'm like, you got to find tools to communicate, you know? And then I realized, oh, this is part of part of your shadow side that's manifesting itself in this relationship. So then when I understood that, it wasn't, now I'm holding this thing against you. Now it's, oh, I understand what you're coming from and we have to work through this thing together. So I think having a book like this is a great tool. There's some other books too, I know, that are available, but The Wisdom of the Enneagram has been my favorite.
Yeah. I'm a Richard Rohr fan, so he has an Audible book, if you guys do the Audible thing. Richard Rohr.
He's got a free talk on YouTube about it, too. Yeah. You search up Richard Rohr Enneagram, and somebody actually segmented it into each types.
So nice.
Each of them are like 20 minutes. So that's like an easy car ride, and you're just like sitting there like, this is me.
Yeah. This is me. Anyone else? Questions? Go for it, bro.
It's not really a question. It was more like a revelation of So when I found out about my Enneagram, I was an Enneagram 8, and reading the description, I actually was a little discouraged just because I'm like, man, people can get really annoyed by me. They can get upset at me. I can be too aggressive. Maybe that's why my circle's so small and all these other things. So then I try to encourage myself. I'm like, well, what famous people out there are Enneagrams 8? And part of me was encouraged and part of me was discouraged
because I found out. What you didn't say.
The first one was Martin Luther King Jr. Yep. And I was like, all right, I can roll with that. You know, he's cool. You know, Dr. Phil was another one.
Okay.
Dr. Phil. I was like, okay, he's cool. I like him too. Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
I was
like, you know what? Mark Cuban?
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. But then I found out Bernie Sanders is one.
Okay. Donald Trump.
He's the other one on the list. Donald Trump was the other one. Pablo Picasso, he's an Enneagram 8. So I don't know. For me, it's kind of hard because I'm like, man, 8. There's so many things you can accomplish, and people love our leadership, but then people also hate our leadership.
Yeah.
So
it's like, see, and that's the crazy thing. Like, be careful to not demonize the other person when they're in their shadow. Because for us, 8s, when we're seemingly attacking or let's get it done, it could steamroll you and you may be like, oh, I don't like that part about you. But that's the same part that gets everything done. All the good stuff. It's the same stuff that allows us to go when everybody else is sleeping. It's the same thing that makes us go this way and everybody else is scared going that way. So you don't want your other person or your family member, whoever it is you're in relationship with, you don't want them to dial that back. You just want them to be able to acknowledge when they're in the light or when they're in the shadow, when they're in the healthy and when they're in the unhealthy. Don't try to suppress it because you're going to end up killing the very thing that helps them succeed. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And also Frank Sinatra is an 8 too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I did it my way.
Dude, is that not an 8 anthem?
Yeah. Bruh. They always ask me if you had one song, what would it be if you had to listen? I'm like, My Way, Frank Sinatra. Every time I get cryo, I'm in the cryo machine singing it hella loud. My Way. Let's go.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
You're talking about your shadow moments and you're talking about the good things. When you're in those moments, like Angela was saying, when she was feeling not to do anything right now and all that, is it like a muscle, like you stay there longer, or is it just an intuition you build as you work your Enneagram number? How does that go for you? Like, you guys have been doing it for a while. Do you see yourself getting to the place of balance sooner and then go for the positive of the good number of your attributes? Or do you see yourself feeling what you need to do, what's right. Because self-love and self-care is non-negotiable.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, as I just learned, I was a 6 and a 4 and a 2. So I just want to know, share what you guys experience as you've been doing this for a while.
I feel like it's definitely a muscle, because I can forget and just get in my head and be like, I don't feel like doing anything. I just, whatever. And I'll go to my go-to things of like, I'm disconnected right now. I need to meditate. I need a journal. I'm feeling disconnected right now. And I'll totally forget to check in with my Enneagram. Like, let me reread here. What's my shadow side? What's this and that? And having this conversation that we just so happened to have right before we're doing an episode about Enneagram is causing me to go back to study the Enneagram and be like, oh yeah, oh, that's right. And so it's, you have grace for yourself first, and then the redirect happens. So it's hard to redirect when you're not redirecting in love. So you have to remind yourself of the shadow and the light, and then you redirect to the light. So it is a muscle. It is a practice.
Yeah, because you can always acknowledge the negative side of you. We're good at that. We'll beat ourselves up all day long. But when you understand that you have the opposite in you as well, then you can know, oh, I have this, but I also have this. And the one thing you have to remember, and this is something I always tell my queen, as much as we like to think things are happening to us or reactive, most of the things that we have or that we're in, we are choosing to either stay or get out. It's always going to be a choice. Very few things are just happening. You know what I'm saying? I think we're a reactive community, and you know, if things are going bad, we're way more inclined to just be like, man, things suck. There has to be a conscious choice to be like, okay, there's this bad, but there can be good. Like many of you, when I talk about my real estate, like, it's, dang it, I didn't get what I want, but here's my good. I learned so much. I refuse to stay in the beating myself up, especially for things that I couldn't predict. And I choose to be in the place where I'm like, heck yeah, I learned all this stuff. It's a very expensive lesson, but I learned it and I won't repeat the mistake. You know what I'm saying? So it's always going to be a choice for you where you stay. You know? So don't stay too long, because when you stay too long, then what is habitual to you becomes part of your personality if you let it stay too long. So if you let habits linger, and my two counselors can probably attest to this, there's a word for it, where your habits left unchecked long enough will then turn into your personality, and you'll start thinking, this is just who you am. So you won't even know that you're being negative. You're just being you. Everyone else knows, damn, she's really negative, and you can't even see it anymore because you're just so used to it. The habit stayed around so long that you can't even catch it. So be human. If you need to give a big F-bomb up there and be like, ah, you know, if you're that angry, and then keep it moving. Move into gratitude. I do it all the time. Trust me. I did it at church once. It was not taken well. Questions? Anyone else? Yes. Let's grow together, people.
So I just wanted to kind of answer that too. Like, I've been taking a leadership class at work, and it's talking about, they talk about leading, knowing yourself to lead yourself. And like the first part, it's like the 5 voices from Giant. And they talk about like just knowing what you are. And then also, like, I feel like that's what the Enneagram does, is like knowing what your tendencies can be. And then also being able to, like what you were saying, Angela, like just steering yourself correcting, because like we have to be more intentional. Like, I think that's what this is all about, right? Mm. Is just being more intentional in our actions. Like everything, like you were saying, all of it is a choice. Like everything we do is a choice. We're choosing to let our personality lead our life, or are we choosing our personality? Mm-hmm. So like, I think this is amazing, and I'm totally taking up all of this, and so I just want to say thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love it.
Another thing, I'll piggyback to everything that was said.
You're good.
Real quickly, is the thing is not staying in the shadow too long. It's embracing it, knowing that that's part of you, but then understanding like your consciousness now has to change, right? Because like, I forgot who said it, but you know, the same consciousness that caused a problem can't be the same consciousness to solve the problem. So understanding these things and how they're linked in your life, like when I look at my problems, mostly in life, they're all linked to just like my shadow side. So then when this tool became available, I realized, oh, that's why this is happening in my life continually. Now I have to change that because I don't like this, you know? And so understanding like, it's just the mindset change. Now you know that about yourself. So you're in the first step of now changing that behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So I took the Enneagram a couple hours ago, just because I knew I wanted to, you know, take part of this. How early do these traits arise in any of our these numbers? Because I remember being on the go since I was like 7 or 8. Like, could not watch TV for that long because I felt guilty. I thought I'm wasting time. Learned how to cook at 10, 11 years old. You know, made tacos with guacamole was my first meal that I literally prepared. So I'm always on the go. And so I look back at, you know, at that age, you know, 7 or 8, and I notice those traits, but how early do those traits arise?
What's your number?
8.
How early do those strengths
arise? Yeah, I was actually listening to Roar talk about that, and he remembers seeing traits as early as 4, 5. Yeah. Like, especially parents, you know, your kids, like, they just lean towards away. So I think really, I don't know if there's a specific number, but I think once a child starts being able to identify cognitively his personality, when they, and I've never been a parent, but I always hear parents say, man, he has such a personality. He's this. They burgeon into their personality. I'm not sure exactly at what age, but from what I've learned and understand is it can happen as early as 4 or 5. So it's not abnormal that you felt that way. I know I've been this way since jump. I've never had anybody, I've never needed anyone to encourage me. I've always just encouraged myself. I don't know why. Because no one else in my family is like this. They're all very much like, they don't really do unless you push them. And even if you push them, they'll just fall over. With me, when I started music, my parents were literally, don't do it. How, you know, I had a 3.9 GPA coming out of high school and college. Like, I could have went to any state school in Florida, full ride, and I go to a Bible college so I can learn about God and rap. And my mom was like, this is dumb. Because you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay out of your pocket. And I'm like, yeah, but I just feel like I'm supposed to go. And I just went. Nobody was like, yay. Fast forward 4 years, I get signed to Warner Brothers, and my mom, who can barely speak English, like she has like broken English to this day, is peddling my CDs and my t-shirts to her friends who also don't speak English, who has a shrine of all my awards as soon as you walk into her house. You know, just, it's weird, but some of us do just how we've been. It's important, like B said, not to look at it the negative. Embrace the negative, but it's so beautiful that we have this positive side of it that we can turn it into. That we don't have to stay in the negative side of ourselves, yeah. In the shadow side.
Yeah, for me, I knew I was a 3, the first trophy I ever got playing at the YMCA in Pasadena. And I just remember that feeling and everyone like, oh my God, you did such an amazing job. And my little brain comprehended that as, I am what I do. This feels nice. I'm going to continue to win, you know? So that's been the common thread throughout my entire life. And I knew that at 5 years old, first basketball league I ever was a part of. So I think some people, like 9 sometimes can be tricky. Because I remember we were talking about this like maybe a year ago. And you just kept saying, I don't know what I am.
Hence, when I read they're blurry, that's kind of what that means. It's hard to put your finger on them because they have to figure themselves out.
So, yeah.
Anyone else?
I have a question.
Oh, yeah. We can hear
online
you.
Online question.
Who's talking? Is that Margie? Yeah.
It's Liz.
What up,
so
Liz?
So I'm new to the group.
Yeah,
hi, guys. Are.
They can hear you. This. Hello.
So my question is, so I actually was just talking with the girls a little bit before it started, and I thought I was a 9, But then I looked up my test score from that I took a year ago, and I got a higher score on 2, but I feel like I definitely relate more to 9 in some areas. But I was just thinking, like, to use the Enneagram to heal, because I know self-awareness is, like, super important in the healing process, but, like, how have you guys specifically used the Enneagram to heal different areas in your life? And, like, I guess I was going to ask Angela specifically, because I was focused more on the 9. Like, how would you use the 9 to go through that healing process?
I have an example of a time where I can remember applying the Enneagram to help myself. I had just gone on I was currently on a tour, and I was out of the country, exhausted. What is it called, the thing that I did with the government?
Australia?
USO tour. Oh, USO thank tour. You. Bouncing around. We're something for the troops. And we had to put together a show, and there's a bunch of different celebrities on this show. So everybody has their own personality, their own gift, their own starness and everything on the show. And I was hosting it, putting it together. And I had just started learning about myself as the Enneagram 9 and the peacemaker and wanting to, like, keep the peace. And I was noticing that I would take on other people's hurt onto myself. So I would need to fix the problem so that they weren't hurt, but also so that I could be at peace. Because if I knew that they weren't at peace, I was not at peace. And so I would take other people's issues onto myself. So I'm on this tour, and somebody on the cast tells me that this other cast member is not happy with the amount of showtime that they're getting. And they were upset with that. So I went to this person and I was like, are you okay? Do you want to adjust some things? We can change it and fix it. And she was like, no, it's fine. Typically, what I would do is for the rest of the trip, be bothered and be like, oh, she's not fine. That was clearly her not being fine. And, like, she's unhappy with this show. Now I am unhappy with this show. And that's what I would have done. But in that moment when she said, no, I'm fine, I had to talk to myself and be like, hey, she said she's fine. Let her be fine. Her issues are not your issues. You don't have to fix this problem. This isn't your problem to fix. And I gave myself grace to let it go and to be able to be happy knowing that somebody else was not happy. Giving myself grace to not have to fix it for them and for everyone. And it was like a weight lifted off my shoulder that I was able to walk away from that and be like, oh, okay. Bye. And to me, that was a big step for healing for me, because I'm like, oh, I don't have to fix everyone's problem. Like, I tried, and she said she was fine. So, bye.
Good job, Queen.
Thanks.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you for that question. You guys are stellar. I love you guys. I love everybody. I've been so looking fun at your faces. You want a question? Yeah, let's go. Let's give it to me, and we'll make this the last one, unless anybody has some. Print it. You have one? Okay, so one and then that one, and then we're done, and I'll get you guys out.
Actually,
and Mel.
Actually, I have comments. Two comments.
Okay, cool.
I appreciate you guys bringing up shadow work. I've spent the last year of my life in the shadow work. Mm. Hard stuff.
Yeah, courageous.
But I went into recovery for a lifelong eating disorder, and it was not fun, and I had to do it, And it's interesting listening to the Enneagram, like all the different ones, because it made me realize what a chameleon, because I can read all of them and go, mm-hmm, 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 yes, yes, yes. I'm a fix-it fairy, like nobody's business. Everybody needs to do, uh-huh, like I perform, you know. And I thought, how can you be all of them? And I thought, because I've lived my whole life having to be what people needed or wanted, and now living my authentic self.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can kind of start to work on narrowing it down so I can do some work on those. But what I want to commend you guys for is from a person who's been married for 34 years.
Wow.
And being my inauthentic self, but being with a partner that has stuck with me, I'm commending all of you and anyone else in the room to be authentic. Can you fake it? for 34 years? Yeah, you can. But it's better doing what you guys are doing at the beginning, because you're going to make it, because so many people don't make it. And I'm here to say that when you do, like, I'm going into, like I said, year 34, and it's worth it. So a shout out to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's hard and it sucks, but it's good. So amen to you guys.
Thank you.
Anyway,
thank you.
That's
thank
all.
You. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. You are. Yep. We're going to wrap up, guys. Don't worry about it.
I just had a comment on what you said. I don't remember your name.
Brandon.
Brandon. How you're saying certain type of seasons, we have different numbers.
Yeah.
And I believe before, maybe 2 months ago, I was a 9.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a 2. I do, like Angelina said, I'm lazy, or I don't want like to be wrong. Now I'm learning with God's help that, you know, I've been on a roller coaster with God, and he's been telling me to shut up and keep my mouth quiet with my husband. But I'm a 2 now, and I've learned to shut up. I learned to keep my mouth shut, to not look at him when I'm pissed. I've learned to be okay being wrong, which my whole life, like one of you said, you have to get the approval. You have to pretend you're this person. Like, my mom was my idol, and I went to college for her, and I went to high school and graduated, did this, did that, went to police academy for her. Now I feel like now that I'm a 2 and got closer to God, like, I can be myself now. Like, I needed my own approval, and I've learned that these last 2 months that it's okay to not have anybody's approval but myself.
Yeah.
And what you guys talked about meant a lot, because I learned a lot from you guys. And thank you.
Thank you. I love it. Thanks, guys, for hanging out. What? Mel, you got one? Okay.
Let's go.
Mel's
bringing
last
us
one.
Home.
Take us home.
So we'll see how we end this. But I just wanted to reinforce the fact that learning about your own personality and bringing it into your relationships is truly important. And while I'm not in a romantic relationship or anything like that, learning about myself has been very valuable in my other personal relationships, just, you know, family and friendship and all that. And then I also just wanted to thank you guys. Thank you for Knights at the Round Table. I have friends from all over that now I have gotten to meet face to face, and who I am concerned about throughout the weeks and how they're doing and all that kind of thing. And I'm going to go this way to that way. But Brandon, when I first started really listening in to these podcasts, I'm like, here comes the guy in Mark 24. It says blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, here, bringing it in here. And now I'm like,
it's the preacher.
Yeah. And so now you bring those things up, and I'm like, all right, what is it? So it's more, I've, you know, pulled that in more, because truly that is why we're all here. I think there, a lot of us are here anyway, and is really listening to Jesus and having that relationship.
Yeah.
And Manny, I mean, you are a huge encouragement. I love your humility and how humble you are in saying, like, I could be wrong. I am wrong. And I want to listen to everybody and listen to their opinions, because I value you whether I agree with you or not. And I can't always do that in my own life, but I appreciate seeing that. And I try to do that, because I see how valuable that is. And Angela, I could say so many things, because I have been a fan for a minute. But I did write this down, because when you talked about your book release, you had talked about how you realized that you would know, that we would know more about you, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't know if I like this. But if I can assume, I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of folks, and I can say thank you for speaking your truth. Thank you for saying what is on your mind, even when you doubted saying it at all. Thank you. Because I can say that a lot of what you say is what I think too, but I could never put into words, or was afraid to ask, afraid to question. You spoke a lot about purity culture, and although I didn't quite experience that, What I got from that is permission to verbalize my doubt and concern over certain teachings. Circling back to Knights of the Round Table, we have that permission to question and to think about those things. And I just thank you all for that. And
thank you.
Whatever.
I love it. Thank you, Mal.
Thanks, wow. Mal.
Hey, man. And a big thank you to all of you guys who stuck around. Hey, especially you guys who came, who don't know us. And it's probably hitting your significant other like, when are we going to get the hell out of here, bro? hopefully we've made semi-quasi fans of you. And if not, it's okay. I'm glad you came. I really am. This was our first one, and it's gone off pretty much without a hitch. Thanks for the vault for having us here. Thank you for everybody. Jennifer, once again. The Patreon. Our Patreon people who you mean the world to us. Thank you for believing with your putting your money where your mouth is. It freaking means the world. It really does. And we are eternally grateful.
Yeah.
A couple things before we do our benediction. If you're in the San Diego area and you dig this kind of thing, Jennifer, raise your hand. Okay. We
Let's go. Loyal.
Loyal. Jennifer the Sixth wants to, we'd love for this in an ideal world to continue if you're in this community, because one thing that we hear so much from everybody across the country is we don't have this where we're at. We're in the Bible Belt, or we're in here. We can't question. We can't ask anything. They want their own table. And so Jennifer has kindly decided to make herself available so that if you are in the area and this is something that you guys enjoy, like what we're doing now, that give her your email and y'all can keep in touch and maybe do like a monthly meetup at a bar, at a restaurant, at a whatever, and take one of the topics that we talked about on the pod and just dissect it and have a conversation as open as honestly, and maybe create your own little San Diego Knights at the Round Table to where you actually have a community that you could talk to about anything and not feel judged, not feel condemned, not feel any of that. That's the heart of Knights. So I'd love to recreate that everywhere we go. So if you're interested in that, if you feel like you need someone, if you feel like you need a community and you'd like that, before you leave, shoot her your give her your email and she will contact you. Is that cool? For those of you who know, what you see on the back of the shirt is we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers. We love you guys.
Cheers.